Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Health Chat. I'm Lenore Moudou. Today, we will discuss heart disease in women. Did you know that heart disease is a very, very common among women, whether it's in the United States or around the world? Although heart disease may often be thought of as a problem for men, heart disease is the most common cause of death for both women and men in the United States. One challenge is that some heart disease symptoms in women may be different from those in men, but fortunately, women can take steps to understand their unique symptoms and of heart disease and to begin to reduce the risk of heart disease. Today, we will talk about women and heart disease. And to help us through this topic, we are joined by Dr. Janet Way. She's cardiologist at the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center at Cedars-Sinai Heart Center in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Way, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lena. It's my pleasure to be on, and thanks for inviting me.
Fantastic. It's really good to have you, and we look forward to speaking to you very shortly about women and heart disease. But before we do that, let me remind our listeners, if you want to participate in the program, you can send your question to healthchat at voanews.com or post them at facebook.com. VOA Health Chat, and we will discuss women and heart disease in a second. But first, VOA's Jessica Berman has this report.
The study by researchers at Oxford University in Britain analyzed data collected from 1.3 million mostly white women, ages 50 to 64. They noticed a pattern among women who had their first menstrual cycle at age 10 or younger, or 17 or older. During the more than 10 years the women were followed, those two groups had a 27% increased risk of hospitalizations or death due to heart disease. There were 16% more hospitalizations or deaths from stroke among those groups, and high blood pressure led to a 20% increased likelihood of hospitalizations or related deaths. Dexter Canoy, the study's lead author, is a cardiovascular epidemiologist at the University of Oxford's Cancer Epidemiology Unit within the Department of Population Health. He says there's a strong association between the age of menarche, when a woman's first period occurs, and heart disease and stroke risk. If plotted on a chart, he says it would look like the letter U, with the highest risk of cardiovascular disease among those who started menstruating at a young age at one tip of the U and those who began later on in their teens at the other. Women who begin menstruating around age 13, which is typical, were seen to be at the lowest risk, according to Canoy, at the bottom of the U.
Whether or not you're lean, overweight, or obese, we found the same U-shaped association. And even if we take into account, let's say, whether or not you're taking medications for high blood pressure or high cholesterol or even having diabetes, it seems that our result is robust.
Canoy does see a link between menarche and weight. Obese girls tend to start menstruating at a younger age. They also often become obese adults, which is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Canoy says it may be possible to lower the risk of heart disease and stroke in women by fighting obesity in children, which might also increase the age at which girls start to menstruate.
Children who are obese can develop heart disease in the long run, but one aspect that can be potentially be prevented is through the mechanism that might involve early onset of menstruation.
Canoy says late-onset menstruation has historically been linked to malnutrition. An article on the link between age and menarche and cardiovascular disease is published in the American Heart Association journal Circulation. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
And Dr. Way, again, thank you so much for joining us. Now, this is a research that talks about the link between menstruation and heart disease. Obviously, this is not our typical topic today, but if I could have your reactions, because I think it's interesting for me to see, at least as surprising, that the younger the onset of a woman has her menstruation, the more susceptible she is to heart disease. I mean, how is this possible?
Yes. I think this is an excellent study raising some sex differences in the development of heart disease. And we unfortunately have found that the young women, you know, women under the age of 55 are the ones that are actually having increased dying from heart disease, whereas more older populations, their mortality from heart disease has been declining over the past 20 years. So this particular study tries to help us understand potentially some of the mechanisms that may relate to this younger population. And the finding that a woman who has a younger age at menarche, you know, a younger age in which they start menstruating, tells us that the role of hormones may play a role in the development of this heart disease. They did find a possible relationship with obesity, and prior studies have also suggested that this relationship of younger women with younger onset of menarche may have a interplay with smoking as well, whether there are more young women who are smoking. And both of these risk factors kind of confound whether it's just the pure fact of hormone status on the role of cardiovascular disease, but I think it's something to further study.
Okay.
It raises good questions mm-hmm. about these sex-based differences.
Okay. Now, one in four women in the United States dies of heart disease. I mean, can you speak on this specifically?
Yes. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for women. You know, it exceeds deaths combined for lung cancer, colon cancer, and breast cancer. And yet, when you ask someone, if you ask a woman about what their biggest health concern is, some of them may not say that heart disease is a priority. And we do know that heart disease mortality is high in both men and women, but in particularly women have exceeded men traditionally in terms of their mortality risk. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, we found that it's the young women who are still at risk for dying from heart disease, and something that needs to be further evaluated.
Young women and heart disease. So in your medical practice, do you see many young women that are coming with this problem?
Yes, we do see a lot of women under the age of 55 who have symptoms that can be related to heart disease. And we have to be aware that, you know, actually, women who die of heart attacks suddenly, about half of them actually have no prior symptoms. But women can have some atypical symptoms that they may not feel is related to the heart. And then they come to see a physician who needs to be cognizant that some of their symptoms, such as nausea or pain in the neck or arm or even shortness of breath, may actually be due to the heart.
Okay, so then in a case of heart attack, let's talk about the condition first, cardiovascular disease in young women and women that are considered to be older, over 50 or 55. Is the way you approach the treatment the same, or it differs depending on the age?
The actual treatment is the same, but women who are younger may have different causes of heart attacks. Traditionally, when men and women have a heart attack, we think about them having blockages, cholesterol blockages in their arteries that's preventing blood flow to go into the heart muscle. And that's a traditional heart attack. Unfortunately, we know also that women who have heart attacks or who have heart disease are less likely to have those type of big blockages than men are. In fact, almost 30% of women who have a heart attack actually appear to have normal-looking arteries when they have an angiogram, when they have a procedure that looks at blockages in their arteries. And so what that tells us is that there are other causes, mechanisms that are leading to dysfunction of their blood vessels. For example, we now know that up to 50% of women who have chest pain and who have no blocked arteries actually have dysfunction of the tiny little vessels, the small vessels in their heart. We call this coronary microvascular dysfunction, and this may play a role in the increased heart disease in women that's more difficult to diagnose.
So then if you look at the frequency of heart attacks among young women versus older women, what would you attribute what's more common in terms of the causes? I know you spoke about causes, but if you were to identify one or two most common causes among younger women and older women?
So actually, for both young women and old women, the traditional cardiovascular risk factors like high blood pressure, you know, high cholesterol, smoking, and diabetes are still very much a major component to the cause of a heart attack in women. Mm-hmm. The extra question for young women is whether, you know, certain female-based contributors play a role. Mm-hmm. For example, we do know that women who have a history of preeclampsia, you know, when they have high blood pressure during a prior pregnancy or who gave birth at an earlier stage, if they gave birth earlier than 37 weeks of gestation, these women are at least twofold higher risk of having heart disease later on. So we still need to understand how, you know, these type of sex-based mechanisms play a role into the cause of a heart attack in young women, but still the main risk factors are, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, etc.
Now, if we look at women versus men in terms of cardiovascular disease, what are the symptoms when it comes to heart attack, for example? Are the symptoms different?
Yeah, there are some slight differences. The primary symptom for both men and women who have a heart attack is still chest pain or chest discomfort. But women can have some atypical symptoms. Traditionally, we think of a man, you know, clutching his chest, saying that there's an elephant sitting on his chest as a primary descriptor for someone having a heart attack. But women can have a burning sensation that chest pain may be closer to their jaw or their arm. It may go up to their neck, to their back. They may have also feelings of profound fatigue as their primary symptom without any chest discomfort. And as I mentioned, shortness of breath seems to be more common in women presenting with heart attacks than men.
And what are some of the signs that could be telltale signs for women to start thinking about paying attention to their heart or seeing a heart doctor or things like that? Are there some symptoms, even if the woman is not identified as having a cardiovascular disease?
Right. So the first thing is to, before thinking about the type of symptoms, is to just get a sense of their own risk factors. You know, they should every year have a visit with their primary physician to know what their blood pressure is, to know what their cholesterol is, see if they have risk for diabetes. And then if they have those risk factors and additional symptoms, then they're definitely at a higher risk than someone without those risk factors. Women who have rheumatologic conditions like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, premature menopause, are also at a higher risk for cardiovascular disease. And so then when you think about that woman who has some risk factors, the important question is, do they feel like their activity has been limited compared to, you know, a year ago? Do they now feel that when they walk a block, they're feeling some chest discomfort or shortness of breath, and they're not quite able to do the things that they were able to do previously? These are some subtle signs that they should have their heart checked out. But more classic signs are definite evidence of, you know, chest discomfort, especially if it's with exercise or even emotional stress. We do think that the brain regulates, you know, our blood flow, and when there's stress involved, whether it's emotional stress, you know, anxiety, those can affect the blood flow in the heart and can contribute to chest pain.
Okay. And Dr. Wei, we're going to take a break. When we come back, perhaps we're going to look at a global picture when it comes to heart disease in the world. We'll get your take on that. We'll be right back with the news. Stay. And it's time for the news with Hedy Adams of Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Lenore. Good evening. Here is your latest health news. Leading United Nations and humanitarian organizations are calling for an end to female genital mutilation, or FGM. They say it's a traditional practice that causes physical harm and extreme emotional trauma to tens of millions of girls and women around the world. Nearly 200 million girls and women are living with the traumatic consequences of FGM. The UN reports an additional 3 million girls, most of them under the age of 15, are mutilated every year. UN agencies report half of all women and girls have been cut in three countries, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Indonesia. They say the highest prevalence of FGM among girls aged 14 and under is found in Gambia, Mauritania, and Indonesia. Every year, 8.8 million people die from cancer, most of them in low- and middle-income countries. That's according to the World Health Organization, which says many cancer cases are diagnosed too late. That's when they're at an advanced stage and harder to treat successfully. The WHO has now released new guidance for healthcare planners to improve cancer patients' chances of survival and to ensure health services can focus on diagnosing and treating the disease earlier. The WHO's new Cancer Guide to Early Diagnosis outlines three steps all countries can take. They include improving public awareness of different cancer symptoms, greater investment in health services and training of health workers, and ensuring patients can access safe and effective treatment without incurring personal or financial hardship. And finally, do you struggle to get up in the morning? Well, welcome to my world. Scientists at the University of Colorado Boulder says it's time to get out of the house. They argue that spending a weekend out camping can reset your body clock, which influences sleeping habits. Researchers do say swapping your home for a tent is not a long-term solution, though, but exposing your body to more bright light in the day and less at night can help. They say we all have a daily circadian rhythm that anticipates day and night to coordinate how the body works. It changes alertness, mood, physical strength, when we need to sleep, and even the risk of a heart attack as part of a 24-hour cycle. So that is it for your health news. I'm going to head out and put on my hiking boots and hand it back to Lenore.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the northern Nigeria-based terrorist group Boko Haram. The militant group has targeted both Muslims and Christians, killing more than 20,000 people since 2009. VOA has exclusively obtained secret video shot by Boko Haram that identifies its operatives committing acts of terror. We'll discuss the violent organization on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing women and heart disease. Joining us via phone from Los Angeles, California, is Dr. Janet Wei, cardiologist at the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center at the Cedars-Sinai Heart Center. And Dr. Wei, we have this question from Ghana, Alfred. He says, who between men and women is more at risk of having a heart attack?
So it depends on the age. Both men and women are at risk for having a heart attack, and women are just unfortunately at the same age at a higher risk from dying of their heart attack than men. Generally, we think of a man who's at risk for a heart attack to be someone who's over the age of 45, and this increases with risk of smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And women tend to present with heart disease on average at a later age, over the age of 55. But unfortunately, because of lack of awareness that women who are young can still die of a heart attack, I feel that that changes the way we treat and manage the younger women. So both men and women are at risk for having a heart attack. The older they are, they're at a higher risk. The more risk factors, as I mentioned, the higher risk.
And Fatou in Sierra Leone says, can women with cardiovascular disease have children?
Yes. Women with cardiovascular disease can have children, but it is important to discuss with their physician closely regarding their risk and how to manage it. Women with high blood pressure during pregnancy are especially at risk because of the risk of preeclampsia, and so it's important to have their blood pressure monitored closely, to be on medications that are safe in pregnancy, and then to also further evaluate their other risk factors like high cholesterol and diabetes later on in life.
And Chinedu in Nigeria says, what is the difference between a heart attack and a stroke?
A heart attack is when there is a complete stop or a decrease in blood flow, so flow of nutrients that are important for the heart muscle, like oxygen, such that there may be death of heart muscle cells. There's the muscle of the heart is no longer working. Whereas in a stroke, there is a lack of blood flow to the brain. So the strokes are affecting the brain, and the heart attacks are affecting the heart muscle.
And
both of them are due to abnormalities in blood flow, generally due to cholesterol buildup or high blood pressure.
Okay. And Abdullah in Guinea wants to know, can too much salt cause a heart attack?
Salt can increase high blood pressure, which can contribute to heart attack and strokes. In fact, having high blood pressure is one of the main risk factors for heart attacks and strokes. So we do recommend for all people who have elevated blood pressure to limit their salt intake. Salt also causes people to retain water and can contribute to heart failure. So it is an important way to monitor and address their risk.
Okay. And this question, when someone has high cholesterol, is he more susceptible to have a heart attack or a stroke?
So cholesterol is an important risk factor for both heart attacks and strokes. And we do feel that by reducing cholesterol, you can reduce your risk for a heart attack and stroke by over 40%. And generally, cholesterol is reduced using medications, but not all medications for lowering cholesterol actually reduce someone's risk for a heart attack or stroke. Studies have shown that statin medications are the most successful so far in reducing both heart attack and stroke.
So there are cases where, what are the cases where someone has a heart attack and they can survive and other have heart attacks and they die?
That's an excellent question, and we wish we could be able to predict that. We do have some studies that suggest that people who have had some buildup of symptoms of heart disease may have, you know, if they've been exercising and training their blood vessels to provide better blood flow to their heart, they may be able to recover from a heart attack than others because they have little collateral blood vessels that have developed and allowed an alternative way for blood to go to their heart muscle. But unfortunately, we still are not able to predict, who's going to survive from a heart attack more than another. There's different blood vessels in the heart that are more likely to lead to sudden cardiac death. For example, if they have a big blockage in their left main artery, then there's a big portion of the heart muscle that is not getting blood flow, and they're more likely to die from their heart attack.
So the same is also true, the same question with regards to stroke, because I know some people that are maybe in the 30s, 40s died of a stroke, and some people that are 70 that survive a stroke.
And some of this may also play a role in how quickly they were treated for their condition. If we make sure that both men and women are aware of the symptoms of stroke, that their family members or coworkers are familiar with the symptoms of stroke, then they can send the patient, the person who's having the symptoms, immediately to their physician, to the emergency room, where then they can receive quick treatment and revascularization, meaning that they can get medications and procedures that will then allow the blood to return to their heart or, you know, return to the brain in the case of a stroke. So I think that it's very important to expand awareness of symptoms and make sure that everyone realizes how important it is to quickly seek medical attention if they're having the symptoms, because the longer they wait, the more likely they're going to die from their heart attack or stroke.
And the World Health Federation says globally heart disease and stroke cause 8.6 million deaths among women annually, a third of all deaths in women worldwide. That's really surprising to me and disconcerting, because you think about it, I mean, you spoke about the heart disease in America and how much women are being affected by it, but it's really surprising to see that.
Yes, over time, you know, traditionally infectious diseases have been a primary cause of death, you know, worldwide. But as time has gone on, more of the chronic diseases like cardiovascular disease have been the leading cause of death. And unfortunately, over 80% of deaths due to cardiovascular disease worldwide are in low or middle-income countries. And so it's an important global health issue to be able to try to find ways to improve cardiovascular, you know, heart and stroke outcomes in these countries.
And so let's go over some very basic steps to maintain a healthy heart. What can you tell us?
I would say that the number one issues are to go to see your physician, to check if you have high blood pressure, check your cholesterol numbers, and to do a blood test for diabetes. There is a calculator that the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology have developed called the ASCVD Risk Estimator. You can find this on Google. You can even download an app on your phone. And you can put in someone's age, their gender, and some of their heart risk factors to estimate their risk for having a heart attack or a stroke over the next 10 years. And so if they have an elevated risk, then they should be considered treatment for their, you know, high blood pressure and high cholesterol, et cetera. All people should also exercise regularly. They should exercise, you know, for at least 30 minutes, ideally 5 times a week, and also eat a healthy diet. And we've considered a Mediterranean style diet to be a diet that has shown improvement in lower risk in heart disease. And that's a diet that's low in salt, high in fiber, low in red meat, and high in vegetables.
And if you can just repeat again that test that you say we can find on Google to assess risk. ES, what is this?
Yes, it's called the Atherosclerotic Cardiovascular Disease Risk Calculator, also known as the ASCVD Risk Calculator.
Okay.
This is something that was published in 2013, and so far has been a good tool to estimate risk for having heart disease in both men and women.
Great, Dr. Wei. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.
And that was Dr. Janet Way, cardiologist at the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center at the Cedars-Sinai Heart Center. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here with producer Kwame Ofori and engineer Chang and Hedy Adam Fitzpatrick with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.